Our colleagues at Gothamist capture the culture and stories of New York City, which is why we love to have them in studio. Joining me is editorial director Jen Carlson, writers Elizabeth Kim and Claire Lampfin, and culture editor Ben Yakis. Team Gothamist, good to see you.
Good to see you.
All right, Liz, we're starting with you. Here's the headline. Central Park Tower about to become the tallest residential building in the world. There's so many of these big things. Which one is it?
Central Park Tower?
Is that it?
What do you mean? This is the building on Billionaire's Row?
Yes.
Right. So actually, I should say that this already happened because it officially topped out yesterday.
Yesterday. Okay.
Yes.
So explain to folks what we're talking about. Which building?
So this is a building. The exact address is on West 57th Street. It's close to the Student Arts League.
Okay.
If you might remember, that's a beautiful landmarked building, and it actually cantilevers over it. And this has been in the works for several years now, and it's been a very contentious project, but it's getting there. I mean, topping out is usually a pretty big milestone, and this one sets a record. It becomes the tallest residential building in New York City.
Is it only residential? Are they going to be able to make their money back just through apartments?
So this is the thing. It's you could technically argue that it's the tallest building. The reason why One World Trade Center sort of takes the mantle of tallest is because it has this 400-foot spire. And a lot of architectural critics have argued that that's kind of a little bit of a cheat. But you know, regardless of what you think about luxury buildings, you know, a record is a record, and this has, you know, indisputably, you know, changed the skyline, and these kind of developments are also changing the city for better or for worse.
Who is this meant to appeal to in terms of buying an apartment or a condo? I mean, who can afford these condos?
I mean, there's a lot of arguments about why there's so much emphasis on the luxury market, but a lot of it has to do with land prices. And, you know, this stretch known as Billionaire's Row, and it's basically this building is created by the original developer of Billionaire's Row, Extel. Basically, they placed a bet that this part of New York City near the park would be where a lot of wealthy people from not just New York City, but from around the world would like to live and buy an apartment. It can be a dwelling, but it's also a bit of a trophy, too, for people who have a lot of money.
In terms of the luxury market, are these kinds of apartments selling?
So this is interesting, right? So this milestone comes on the heels of a very worrisome report for luxury market luxury developers, which is that last week the website Street Easy produced a report that said 1 in 4 new luxury apartments in New York are unsold.
Huh. So, I can't afford it. Nobody I know can afford it. Doesn't really impact me that way. But I think that are people just sort of,
are we numb? Yeah.
I've seen tweets where people just opposed to them because they exist in a way.
Right.
I have another way to put it that way.
Right. I mean, it's a symbol of the city's growing income inequality.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's something, not nothing.
And a lot of people just dislike them purely based on height. You know, there was a lot of criticism about, you know, do they create more shadows on the park? Are they tree killers? You know, so
the whole thing.
Yeah.
Let's go to the other end of the spectrum. Jen Carlson, this is the headline. Gem Spa Rally turns beloved East Village institution into mock blank. We can't say the name of the bank. It would rhyme with Citibank, but we can't say what they said because of FCC regulations. So there was a huge rally for Gem Spa. When did this happen?
Yeah, so earlier this year, there were some concerns that maybe Gem Spa was in trouble because they lost, you know, their ability to sell cigarettes and a lot of these, like, main things that they were making money off of. So there's been, like, some support around them all year. And then Jeremiah Moss, who runs Vanishing New York and is behind Save NYC, held this rally, and it's called a cash mob, to, like, bring out support and bring out, you know, people who say, like, it's really easy to say online, like, oh, we don't want to see Gem Spa go, but, like, do you show up? Do you buy things? So it was sort of like trying to kick off bringing customers in, because as the woman who's running it, Perul Patel, who's, like, taken over in place of her father, she says, you know, we don't need a one-hit wonder. We need regular customers. So this was sort of an effort to kind of like get that idea into people's heads.
Gem Spa, they've had sort of a turbulent year. You wrote your piece. What's happened?
So they can't sell cigarettes anymore, and that has like kind of taken that has like, you know, taken a lot of their profit. And I think that, you know, with print dying, there's like they are not selling magazines and newspapers. It's sort of like, what are people going there for? Like, what is there to go for? So there's egg creams, and like they get a lot of tourist traffic probably, but I don't think they're getting like the regular customers anymore. So they say, you know, we're not thinking about shutting down. We're not shutting down, but New Yorkers who have seen this happen time and again are obviously concerned that they will shut down.
They seem to embrace social media, though, as a weapon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've gotten an Instagram account now, which is Instagram. I think it's Best Egg Cream. If someone owns Gem Spa, they should consider giving that to Gem Spa.
good point.
But yeah, so like they're trying to get kind of the word out through these new ways that we all have to do it, like social media, Facebook.
One of the fascinating things that has happened just recently is that their t-shirt, they have a t-shirt that says Gem Spa, has blown up in recent weeks. And people are clamoring to get on the list to be able to get one, to buy one.
Interesting. It sort of reminds me of the Crooked Media Friend of the Pod shirt, how that sort of people kind of knew about the podcast, and then the shirt showed up, and then people wanted to know more.
It's like a status symbol item. It is like a real, like, only in New York sort of item.
Yeah.
It shows that you're a local.
And there's a waiting list.
There's a wait. Because they don't.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
They said some skater outlet had said, like, this is like more important than Supreme products right now or something.
Wow.
There's been some pretty crazy headlines.
Don't know if that's true, but it's good marketing. Yeah. Claire, let's go to you. Cuomo pivots from license plate plan after poll says New Yorkers won't pay $25 for this. I don't think I can say this word. This bleep. What happened to the license plate plan?
It is sort of unclear at the moment. So yesterday, a Siena College poll came out saying that 60% of the New Yorkers polled were not willing to give up their plates after 10 years. They didn't necessarily want to do that. And 75% felt that the $25 fee attached to that obligation was unfair. So the original plan in August when Cuomo rolled out this license plate replacement plan was to have people choose from 5 different license plates, and the winner would be the one that in April 2020 they would start replacing license plates older than 10 years with. And in order to get the new plate, you have to pay at least $25 if you want to keep your license plate number. You have to pay 20 more, which is a lot. So this poll, shows that people aren't very happy with that. And later in the day, Cuomo released a statement saying that no, that actually was never the plan. We're still working out how to get all of the license plates on the road to a place where they're readable, and suggesting that there's not really a timeline for that yet. So confusion.
It sounds like it. So the idea is that the new license plate will be readable by toll booths and cameras and all that kind
of
stuff.
Like police scanners and stuff like this.
I can understand why people wouldn't be that excited about that.
But also the design.
Kel Suprez.
The design has been a little contentious/widely mocked.
All right. Well, we'll keep our eye on that. All right. This was big, Ben. In the world of culture writers and editors, this was the big story. Comedian Shane Gillis fired by SNL over racist, sexist, and homophobic slurs. Wow, the trifecta.
I was going to say, he hits all the marks.
So he was going to be one of the new cast members at SNL, and that's a big deal.
Yeah, so we're about a month out from the season premiere of the 45th season, and SNL usually announces new cast members. We knew that Leslie Jones was leaving, sadly. She's the best, but she's out of there. And they got 3 new people to come in. One of them was Bowen Yang, who was a former writer on the show. And it's a huge deal because he's the first Asian-American full-time cast member. But on top of it, they got this guy Shane Gillis, and it quickly came out that he has a history of using all these sort of slurs on podcasts. And we're not talking about like 5 years ago.
Oh, no, like last year.
We're talking about like 3 months ago.
Yeah.
Not even last year, like in May. And so this came out last week, the end of last week. Nobody was saying anything. SNL didn't give any comment. Everyone's like, what's going on here? Why are you just hiring the most racist people you can find? Then finally on Monday, SNL announced, we're going to part ways with him.
Boom.
And when it came out afterwards, Variety reported is that SNL was specifically seeking out conservative comedians. They want to balance out. You know, they have a very liberal sort of base. They have a lot of Trump parodies and everything. And this was one of the guys that they were looking at for that specific purpose.
I think you can be conservative and not racist, sexist, and homophobic.
So. I think so, too. I want to believe so.
And I hope the casting folks at SNL discover Twitter.
Yeah, the vetting process needs to improve.
Ben, thanks so much. Jen, Liz, Claire, Team Gothamist, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is all of it on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. I will meet you back here next time.